Good morning, everyone, and welcome again to everyone that's here with us. We do appreciate you being here, and I have the opportunity to fill in for Tim while he's gone this morning. I do appreciate that opportunity to do so, and we'll do our best to give you something to chew on. How's that? And if you have any questions, like I said, you feel free to ask those questions and after we get done, and we'll be glad to try to entertain those questions that you have. Certainly, any questions you have, we're going to try to give you a Bible answer. We're not going to give you our thoughts or our feelings in the situation. And if it's opinion, we will tell you that it's opinion and is not from the Scriptures. Okay? All right. I'd like to talk a little bit this morning about am I a sinner and what a sinner is. Pretty simple and basic lesson, but something that I think that is kind of causing some problems across the brotherhood and in the church in general. Am I a sinner, and what is a sinner? And as we go through this lesson, I want you to think about that. Am I a sinner? We are so quick to judge and condemn other people sometimes, and what they do and how they do it and all that, and we don't get all the facts of what is happening in their lives or in what's going on in their lives. And we're not patient and long-suffering with people sometimes like we should be. You know, if God had the patience and long-suffering that we have, the world would have came to an end a long time ago, wouldn't it? I'm pretty quick as a human being to cast stones at others and how they're living their life and why they're living their life and the way it is. And we need to understand that as we go through this. Am I a sinner? And keep it into the context of where am I at and where am I going? Let's see if that thing's going to work. What is sin? Sin is a thing that is a disease, if you will. You know, we talk about alcoholism and drug addiction being a disease. Sin is a disease. And there's no doubt about it. And it has different and varying forms. And it is a disease that affects us all. And we're all worried about different diseases today that there is no cure for. There is a cure for this one. But there's other diseases that there are no cures for. And we have to live with that sometimes. And we have to understand that. But there is a cure for this. What is sin? What is it? Let me back up here one. Strong says to Mrs. Mark, not to share in the prize. Sin. Okay, to sin, your faults, sin, trespass. All these is what Strong says it is. And the Bible translation I'm going to be using is King James. I should have said that to start with, but that's just one I use. So most of this will be from the King James. All right, we get over here. I can't get the thing to work right. All right, 1 John 3:4 says, Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, and sin is a transgression of the law. So we know what sin is. It's a transgression of a law. But what law? Is it one that I have dreamed up, or one that you have dreamed up, or is it one that some higher power and being has set in place for us? And that's what we need to see. God, through this inspired writer, John, says, Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And that law is God's law. And He is our Creator, and we need to remember that. Am I a sinner? And what is sin? Okay? Remember that. And it is a transgression of God's law. Okay. I don't feel that I'm a sinner. I don't know what happened there. I think I went too far. No, I didn't. Okay. I've lived a good life. I'm a good person morally. I've lived a good life. I don't feel that I'm a sinner. I don't feel that I've done anything wrong. I don't cuss. I don't drink. I don't live a loose or promiscuous lifestyle. I'm a pretty good person. I'm a pretty good person. I'm just an overall good person. So why do you tell me that I have to worry about sin and that there is a God? And that there is a cure for sin that I don't even know that I have. The problem is in 1 John 1 and 10 it says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His truth is not in us. And His word is not in us. We need to understand that we and who is sinners and who falls into this category as a sinner. Okay? It says, because if we say that we have not sinned, who is the we there? It's me and you. Right? If we say that we have not sinned, then we have a problem, don't we? Put that thing down. Okay, who is guilty of sin? And what is guilt, anyway? Have you ever done something and you felt bad about it afterwards? That's guilt. Or if you're going to do something and it doesn't seem right to you and you get that knot in your stomach, that's guilt. That's not feeling easy about a situation. You know, in Romans 3:23 it says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All. A-double-L-L. Not a one of us is going to miss that. We're all going to be in that situation. So, am I a sinner? Yes, I am. Are you a sinner? Yes, you are. And in Galatians 3:22 it says, "But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin." There's none righteous, no, not one, save one, and that was Jesus Christ and God. But the one man that lived upon this earth that was righteous was God, was Jesus, excuse me. Are you a sinner? And I think we can see from just a few minor verses that we have taken here that God classifies us all as sinners. We're all sinners. We do say, think, and leave undone things we ought not. And that's where sin comes into the picture. And we can have some of the best intentions in the world and never get things done or never do what we're supposed to do. And are you a sinner? Yes, you are. Am I a sinner? Yes, I am. And we need to understand that. Have you followed the will of our Heavenly Father? And if the answer is no, you most definitely are a sinner because He is the one that's doing the measuring. In Matthew 12 and 50 it says, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother." So if you're not doing the will of the Father, then you can't be one of those. Who is in control of your life? I want you to think about that for a minute. Am I a sinner? I am. Now, whether you classify yourself as a sinner or not, that's going to determine how you live your life from this point forward and what you do with it. Who is in control of your life? Well, you might say, well, I am. And then as we live and get older, we realize that we only have certain things that we can control, a little sphere, right, in our lives. Everything else is outside our control. How many people can control the economy right now? And we're all crying and complaining because the economy's not in too good shape. And we all see that. So we can see that we're not in control. Okay? Around 2000, we had a crash in the stock market. We've had one since then. People are losing money, not by the thousands, but by the billions across the United States as a whole. If you factor that all in, they're losing billions. And I hear people say, well, I'm set for life. I've got all the money I need. Until now, right? Are you in control of your life? And that's what you need to understand. Who is in control of everything? Who is in control of everything? You're here today and sick tomorrow. A man was telling me about a brother in Christ. It was in a kind of a little meeting like thing, and he said that he got upset, and he said something he shouldn't. He apologized to the men of the congregation for getting upset. He returned around and told his wife he loved her, and he fell over dead. If that doesn't tell you that you're not in control of this situation, I don't know what can. We can leave here and go to drive home this afternoon, Lord willing, and be hit by another vehicle or do something that we caused the wreck and be killed instantaneously. And you might not have anything to do with that and be out of control of the whole situation. But who is in control in your life? Who is pushing all the buttons? Where do you look to for guidance? You know, we all that are still working have jobs. Those who are in school have teachers or whatever to tell them what to do or parents to tell them what to do. And we're all trying to make the best decisions out there that we possibly can. But we find out there's very little in control, right? We see plants laying off. We see plants closing. People wondering what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. And everybody jumping through hoops to try to patch up this mess that we have right now. Whether you agree with it or not, it doesn't make any difference. They're still trying to patch it up with their own reasoning. So who is in control? You know, I hear people talking about, well, I'm not going to have retirement. Now it's gone. Or I'm only going to get a portion of the retirement I thought I was going to get. And I thought I was set for life. And all the other things are going on. People are taking concessions in their wages and other things that they thought that the wages would just keep going up forever, and they're not. The one in control is the one that gives you orders and assignments and expects you to complete the task. Okay? We have bosses. Those are still working, and they tell you what they want you to do, and you need to do that. If you don't do that, you have these ratings, and they'll tell you, say, hey, you're not doing what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do. This is where I think you need to improve. And if you don't improve, you get a lower rating. So there's always somebody pushing those buttons out there. Children have parents telling them, hey, I don't want you to do this because it's not good for you, or that's not good for you. And we have God telling us that I want you to do this, I want you to do it this way, and I want you to complete the task. Am I a sinner? Yes, I am. And I need to understand that. Romans 6:16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants are ye to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Your choice is yours. God created you and put you on this earthly planet that you live on. He gave you the life and breath and the ability to do the things that you're doing. And what he asks from you in return is to follow him. He has given you the assignment. He has given you the task to complete. Will you do that? What kind of wages will I receive? You know, we're always worried about money and how we're going to get more money. And are we going to get a 2% or a 3% raise? Or in my case, sometimes you don't get any raise depending on the economy. And what's going on. But at the same time, we're always worried about that, aren't we? And people that are on unemployment right now, I hear them talking about, well, I'm worried about the unemployment's going to run out, and then what am I going to do? And all those things. Well, what kind of wages will I receive? Okay, we agree to work for payment that has been agreed to. Now, most of us in this room, not too many of us are too high up on the so-called corporate ladder to where we have a contract and all that. We work at what they call at will. And we go there and we sign up to work for a certain hourly wage or a certain salary or whatever. And we work for that. And that's what we agreed to, right? And what will our wages be? Now, if we got half of that when payday came, we'd be very upset, right? And all the things going on with that. Our anticipation is to have that. They're waiting on us. So what kind of wages will I receive? In the case of God and what's going to happen here in our lives and what's going on with us, what kind of wages as a human being do you consider that you'll receive someday when you part this earth and are laid to rest or the world comes to an end? Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So as you think about that, what kind of wages do you want when you leave here? You're all going to get something. You're going to get something when you leave here. First thing you got to, am I a sinner? Are you willing to accept the fact that you are a sinner? And what kind of wages do you want to receive when you die? And you're hanging out there in eternity, and you're facing a loving God who is a just God. And sinners. And it says we'll all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Not a one of us is going to miss that, right? That A-double-L. We are all sinners, and not a one of us is going to miss that. What do you expect to receive when you get there? It won't be a big mystery. And it won't take long. It says it's going to happen in a twinkling of an eye, right? Now, if you're like me and you agree that I am a sinner and you're a sinner and we can come to some kind of common ground with that, commonality if you would, and we're on common ground with the thought that I am a sinner and you are a sinner, so then how do we get free from my sin? You know, many of you were probably raised in the church. I was not. I was not. I didn't get to see all the things growing up as a child that you do. And I see so many Christians take that for granted.
Amen.
And no wonder we lose so many of our young people. Sometimes being a parent is very tough, being a Christian. And we have to fight that with every bit of our being within us to understand that gift that you were given, to have that opportunity to be raised in a situation that you're raised in. Because it seems to me, from being an outsider, it's the ones that were never raised in the church as a majority that appreciate it more than the ones that were. And that is very sad sometimes. You need to hear, and that's what we're talking about today. You need to hear what you need to do. You need to hear that and understand that we are all sinners. And once we agree that we're all sinners and we have heard that, in John 8:47, he says, "He that is of God heareth God's word. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." It is not important to you. God is a living, breathing being that is out there in the universe and controlling things. He is alive. And what's going on? And in 1 John 4:6, he says, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Not everybody is going to accept what God wants them to have and to grab a hold of and go to heaven. It's not going to happen. You have loved ones. I have loved ones that do not accept that. And we get to take trips to the funeral home and just to see them off into eternity. And that is very difficult at times, isn't it? Very difficult. It would be nice if we all could go to heaven and accept what is before us. But they stop right here a lot of times. They don't even want to hear it. They don't even want to hear it. You need to believe or have belief and faith in God. You need to hear it first. And you're hearing it, just like I have. And then you have to have faith to know what you believe. That there is a God in heaven. And that there is a better life. And maybe what you're living and how you're living it. And maybe what you should be doing and what you shouldn't be doing. And we need to understand that. John 8:24 says, "And I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins, if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." And I can tell you, and I've had the opportunity to see family members die that were not Christians. And that is not a joyous time at all. And if you can head that off with your family and the ones that you love, you need to understand you need to do that. And of course, Mark 16:16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." So you can see that you have to have faith. Even before baptism, you have to have faith. And understand that. Repent, or repentance. And this is where it seems to get very difficult. Sometimes you have people that are not afraid to hear and believe and have faith. But to change my life, I'm not going to do that for anybody. I like what I'm doing. I like how I'm doing it. And I don't care what God says. I'll do everything but that repentance piece. That change. That evolution, if you would, to use a scientific term today, that evolving from the person that you were to the person God wants you to be. Now, if our scientists want evolution, there you go. From something that is in a lost state to something that is in a saved state. And you have control of that situation. You are a free moral agent. You have the right to choose. And please use it wisely. It is not something that is given lightly by God. Even though it is free, it is not given lightly. You remember you're given the assignment. You're expected to complete that assignment and complete that task. Am I a sinner? Yes, I am. Are you a sinner? I believe you are. And in Luke 13:3 it says, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." A-double-L. And you don't want to fall into that perishing part. You know, so many in this world do not want to give up what they have and what they're doing. I had an uncle that just died recently. My father went to visit him a few years ago, and my mother. And he was telling my father all that beer had done for him in his life and how it had made him what he is. B-E-E-R. And he died in that state as an alcoholic and would not give that up. And his wife and others tried to talk to him, and he was not the person that you could talk to about things like that. Acts 3:19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted." Now, understand this, if you don't hear anything else today. Be converted. You're not going to live your life the way you've lived it in the past anymore. You're going to give that up and you're going to serve God. And you're not going to give a bunch of lame excuses. "Well, I know God will overlook this time. He understands what I'm struggling with." Yes, He does. But He expects obedience to His will. And you might say, "Well, it's too hard to give up the sin I'm in." Then it's too hard for you to go to heaven. But on a day of judgment, when you make those cries to God, and you say, "It's too hard," He's going to say, Jesus is going to say, "Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity, into everlasting punishment." Am I a sinner? Yes, I am. Are you a sinner? Yes, you are. Are you converted? Only you will know. And God in the judgment day. Confession. It means to say, "Hey, I'm not going to live this way anymore. I'm going to complete the task. God said you've got to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and to believe that He died for your sins and all the things He did for you. And you need to confess that before men. You know what that means? That means you live your life differently. And then when they want you to go participate in some sin, you'll say, no, I cannot because I'm a Christian. I don't drink. I don't live that lifestyle. I love you, but I don't do those things. And then they're going to kind of shun you sometimes, but that's fine. You'll be surprised how you touch people's hearts sometimes when you do what you need to do. And when you participate in the sin, then you have destroyed the Lord's church in our eyes maybe forever. Matthew 10:32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him shall I confess before my Father which is in heaven. The way you live your life, you're going to do certain things, you're not going to do certain things. In Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt believe in thine heart that the God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So you understand that the confession is more than say, yeah, I believe you, God. Let's get this thing over with. Get me in the water and get me out. And then we leave and we go live our lives the way we want to live them, and we forget all about this. That's not confession. Confession is where I make that repentance, that change in my life, and then people see that there's a change in my life. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, you know, you have to know that I am a sinner. Okay, I'm here telling you that. I'll raise my hand first. Are you a sinner? You're going to have to answer that question. I believe you are. I believe you all are sinners. And then what are you going to do about it? To be baptized. Now, they said, well, you hear, you believe, repent, confess. Why do you have to be baptized? It's a waste of time. It seems something too trivial for me. They even have to deal with. I believe in God. That's good enough, right? Remember, I know from the beginning of this lesson to the end, I didn't put this into motion. God did. And He said that you need to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized to be a New Testament Christian. And we need to understand that. Okay. And Mark 16:16 again, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and baptism, and then you're saved. Pretty simple, right? Why don't people do that then? In Acts 2:38, and Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You know, God has given us a blessed opportunity to be New Testament Christians. You were a created being. You didn't drop on this earth just by happen chance. You were created and you were put here. You might not like a situation you're in sometimes, but you were created, you're put on this earth, and all the things that are going on. And He says you need to do these things. He's the one giving you the assignment, the task to complete. So you need to understand that. What do I need to do once I've been baptized? And I see so many now because of different issues. You see them here, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. And it's a month or two or whatever. They just go back out in the world and everything's great. You never see them again, right? And they're struggling with sin in their lives and they see more importance in doing sinful things than they do in doing God's will, and they fall away. And we certainly can do a better job of training them there for what to expect. Live faithfully. And that's tough, isn't it? You got a lot of things that get in your way. And it seems like that's always changing. The world we live in. It was here, now it's here. It was there, now it's over here. Believe it or not, my generation started out with the TV. I can remember a time that we didn't have a TV. There was a radio or whatever. And the TV came into being. Now we have the internet. Good things on the internet and bad things. But all these things have changed in my lifetime. We sent a man to the moon and back. And all these other things that went on in my lifetime have been changes that my grandfather never got to see all of them, but I got to see it. And I have to deal with all the changes that come with sin in our lives. We have to deal with that, right? And we're all tempted to sin. Every one of us. That's the reason why we're sinners. We do say and think things we ought not, and we leave undone things we should have done. And that's the reason why we're sinners. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, it says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, A-double-L. But one receiveth a prize, so run that you may obtain." If Christians ran a race the way they live their Christian lives, they'd never get out of the starting blocks. Some of them. And others would, like running the 400. There was some thing the other day that caught my attention, run the 400 meters. That's a pretty tough race. If you start out real fast, you burn out. And then your legs tighten up, you get to the point where you can't run for that last 150 meters or whatever. So they kind of pace themselves and set into that race so that they can finish that race. And the problem with Christians sometimes is that some of them never get out of the blocks. Others take off real fast and see how difficult it is when you try to take on more than what you can handle at the time. And the race gets too heavy for you and they never complete it. You need to gear yourself up to be ready for the race that is set before you. It might be short. It might only be a few days and your life will end. It might be many years. But you've got to run that race. And you can't pass it on to somebody else and say, "You run that race for me." In 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul said, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith." Now there's a guy that was prepared for the race, wasn't he? You look at his life, all the times he was shipwrecked, beaten, stoned and left for dead, all the things that happened to him, the scourging, the beatings that he took. And he let nothing get between him and the prize that was set before him. And we can stub our toe and we'll quit. And we need to understand that, right? Am I a sinner? Yes, I am. Are you a sinner? I believe you are. How about you in your life? Do you need to get rid of your sins? We've talked about all these things here. And it's going to be difficult for some of the sins you're going to have to give up sometimes. But the prize is well worth what you're going to have to give up. It's not an easy task sometimes. And you know, I see so many Christians that are tangled up in sin, they want to argue with you about, "Well, the sin I'm in is not so bad. And the way I'm living, God will accept it." And sorry to say, some of them die that way. Sin is bad. One sin, unrepented of, can cost you your soul. And we tried to put degrees on sin, whether it's murder, rape, whatever, and we kind of go, ch-ch-ch-ch. Sin is sin to God. And when you're casting stones at somebody else because of the life they're living, then understand that God is going to judge you just the same. Are you willing to obey the Lord's commands? You've got to decide that. Now, I know that's difficult for some because you have a lot of things in your life that you have to give up or whatever. And that's a difficult task sometimes, and you need a lot of help. And when people are trying to help you, sometimes people reject that, and they go on. Are you willing to do that, though? Don't let the opportunity to become a child of God pass you by. Well, my friends, they don't really like that. They like for me to go out and drink and party and dance and do all the things they like to do, or they like to live in some other kind of promiscuous lifestyle. And if I become a Christian, I can't do that anymore. Right? Well, I feel sorry for you, you know it. We had a Lord and Savior that left His home in heaven, that gave up everything with God and came to earth and lived among sinful men and went through all the torture and the misery and the agony He did to finally be nailed on that cross to die for your sins. I really feel sorry for what you have to give up, or what I have to give up. He died there for you and me. Excruciating pain and agony. And He didn't deserve it. I do. But He died so that I might have a right relationship with Him. It's up to you. Where will you spend eternity? Don't wait until you smell something burning. And you see that. I've heard other people in here talk about it. I've seen it on church signs lately. Out in the front of their lawns. Do you smell something burning? As spiritually speaking, you'll be lost. An eternal damnation in a place where the worm dieth not, and where the fire is unquenchable, that will burn your soul and not your flesh. You know, in my job, I've had the unfortunate privilege, I guess, of going out on accident scenes where somebody's been burnt. And the smell of burning flesh sticks with you forever. And you never forget it. And that's the way hell will be. Eternal. And you will never forget it. You won't be able to stop it. You won't be able to stop it. Think about it. Jesus loves you and was willing to die for you in excruciating pain for me. And if it wasn't for Him, I wouldn't have an opportunity to go to heaven, and neither would you. The choice is yours. You're going to have to decide. And you're going to have to weigh within you, do I want to hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, become a New Testament Christian, and live faithful unto the end? And please, don't give me your petty excuses why you don't want to give up some sin. Because you will die and lose your soul eternally if you do not understand that. And I love you all, and I want you all to go to heaven. But when judgment day comes, that will be out of your control and my control. And there won't be any more chances or opportunities for you to change that. So you need to understand that as we sing number 338 here in just a minute, that the great physician is Jesus. And He's there. God put the thing in motion that might save you from your sins. There is a cure for sin. We have given it to you this morning. And you're going to have to decide whether you want to obey that or not, as together we stand and sing.